we present Smiling and Beautiful Death, a play for radio by R.D. Wingfield, with Raymond Huntley and Noel Johnson. Smiling and Beautiful Death.
Richard, you're going too fast.
I'm trying to get back to the main road. It's nearly midnight and we haven't the faintest idea where we are.
I'm sorry. I told you I wasn't very good at map reading.
You didn't have to be any good at map reading. All you had to do was follow the road and count the turnoffs. It shouldn't have strained anyone's intelligence. No, this is nothing more than a cart track.
You should have spent the night in a hotel.
If we'd get to the right road, we'd be in Rexford by now. Good Lord, we're coming to a proper road.
Oh, there's a signpost.
Can you make out what it says?
Little Markham, 1 mile.
We'll see if you can find it on the map.
Oh, Little Markham. No, I can't see it. Perhaps it's too small to be marked.
Oh, give it to me. It's a village. Of course it's marked. They even show ditches. Just, there it is.
Oh, dear.
20 miles out of our way. How did you manage that? Look. You told me to turn left here, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I cleared it, but you insisted.
Oh, it's too late, and I'm too tired for post-mortems. Do you think there might be somewhere in Little Markham where we could stay the night?
Well, it's got a pub. We could try there.
Oh, yes, do, let's.
I'm sorry if I'm snapping, Sally, but my nerves are right on edge.
I know.
1 mile. Well, let's hope they're still awake. Here, see if you can manage folding the map up properly.
If there's one thing I'm worse at than map reading, is map folding. There. That'll have to do.
Huh? Good God.
Richard, what is the matter?
Didn't you see it?
See what?
You must have seen it. It crossed us on the road ahead there.
I was too busy fighting the map.
It was a hearse.
That's a careful omen, I must say.
There was a coffin on the back and wreaths.
It's gone midnight. You don't get funerals at this time. Richard, you're trembling.
When I was a child, 7 or 8 years old, I used to walk in my sleep. I'd roam the house. An old lady lived on the top floor. They never told me she died. One night, I awoke to find myself in her room, looking down into an open coffin.
Oh, how terrible.
Yeah, I still have nightmares. Anything to do with funerals terrifies me. And seeing that hearse...
Are you sure you did see it?
Of course I'm sure. The coffin, wreaths of waxy flowers.
Let's get going.
Yes.
Richard!
It's all right.
Look out!
Oh, my head. Oh. What happened? The crash. Sally. Sally. Oh, thank God. Sally, are you all right?
Oh, what happened?
Something ran out in the road. A fox or a dog, I swerved.
Oh, Aaron.
Are you all right?
My head hurts.
Here, let me see. Yes, you must have banged it on the windscreen. I caught mine a bit of a knock as well.
You're bleeding.
Where? Oh, just the skin broken. Oh, we seem to have landed up in a ditch or something.
I feel dizzy.
I'll get some help. You stay in the car.
Please don't leave me.
I'll be as quick as I can. No sign of life anywhere. No light showing. Not a sound. Oh, well, the map was right. A pub. The spotted dog. Hello? Hello, inside? Hello? Hello?
You've got to open the door.
Oh, what a godforsaken hole this is.
Isn't there anyone in this damn place? Anyone?
Let's try somewhere else.
That house.
There's a nameplate on the door. Surgery, G. D. J. Norton, M.D. A doctor, thank God.
Doctor! Doctor, wake up!
Oh, it's no good they won't hear me. There's a light through those trees. It's moving. There's someone there.
Oh, the moon's gone in behind those clouds. It's so dark, I can't see anything. What's this? A gate. Only I could see. What's that? What is this place? Must have some light. Huh? A graveyard. No. No.
Earth to earth, ashes to ashes.
I'm Dr. Norton. That gentleman there is Dan Stringer, the landlord of the pub.
Where am I? How did I get here?
You're in the front bedroom of the Spotted Dog, sir. We are putting you up for the night.
Oh, my wife. I've got to get to my wife.
It's all right, darling. I'm here.
Oh, Sally. The car. We were in the car. My head.
You slammed it up against the windscreen. No bones broken, though. Why you people won't wear seatbelts?
I remember leaving the car to get help.
You found your way to my house. I thought you were going to knock my door down. You were collapsed on the doorstep.
I couldn't make you hear. How did you find my wife?
Sam here heard the noise and came over.
You knocked me up first, sir, but didn't wait for me to come down. Anyway, we guessed you must have come by car. We are miles from anywhere, so I went back along the road to find your car. And there was your wife. I brought her back here.
They've been very kind, Richard.
I saw a funeral.
What's that?
In the churchyard. A funeral.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning, Mr. Gordon. We don't have funerals at 1 o'clock in the morning.
And then someone hit me. I was struck on the head.
You hit your head on the windscreen.
I hit the front of my head on the windscreen, my forehead, where it's cut. Here, do you see? Do you see? Just what you'd expect from hitting it on the windscreen, but how do you account for this lump at the back?
Let me see. Oh. He has got a nasty bump there, Doctor.
I know, Mrs. Gordon. I have examined him. His head probably jerked back and he hit the side window as well.
There was a bell. You must have heard it, Sally, a church bell tolling.
I didn't hear it, Richard.
If there was a bell, I'd have heard it, Mr. Gordon. My cottage is right on top of the church. And Sam would have heard it, too.
There was no bell, Doctor.
I see. So that's how it's going to be, is it? All right. We'll see what the police have to say about it tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow. You're far too excited to talk about it tonight. Now, I want you to take this.
What is it?
A mild sedative to help you sleep.
But I...
Oh, come on. It won't poison you.
Oh.
Yes, that's the idea.
Is he all right, Doctor?
I think so. Still a bit shaken up, but only to be expected. A good night's sleep should work wonders. Don't understand this obsession about a funeral.
Just before the crash, we were talking about funerals. Something that happened when he was a child.
Ah, that would explain it. I'll look in again in the morning. I expect he'll have forgotten all about it by then. But if you want me at any time during the night, don't hesitate. You know where I am.
What are you two whispering about?
Nothing. The doctor's just going. Good night, Doctor. And Sam.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, Mrs. Gordon. Make sure you get some rest yourself.
You don't believe me, do you?
Of course I do, darling.
Oh, that's right. Humor me. Treat me like an idiot. Did you see what the doctor was wearing?
What was he wearing?
A black tie.
There we are, Major.
Thank you, Sam. Oh, morning, Doctor. What do you have?
Oh, nothing, thanks, Major. I'm doing my rounds. Good morning, Sam.
Morning. How are your patients?
They're better than I am. I've never heard a man complain so much.
I know. The wife took them breakfast in bed, one of her specials. And all he did was moan because we didn't have his particular brand of marmalade. She's very nice, though.
Oh, yes, she is. I can't think what she sees in him. He must be rich.
Any more coffee, sir?
Inspector Wilkes. Oh, what's this, then? 11 o'clock in the morning and still eating breakfast?
I'm on holiday.
Well, I wish I was. I've been up half the night.
So I hear. Charlie's been telling me and the Major all about it.
You are, Inspector?
This is him.
Coffee for you, Doctor.
Oh, no, thanks. I haven't got time to laze about gossiping like some people. Oh, by the way, Charlie, He was asking about his car.
Oh, I'm sending over to Poulton for a new front axle. I'll be ready till tomorrow.
Oh, dear, that'll bring the pains on. He's champing at the bit to get out of here. Doesn't seem to have taken to me and Sam.
Lord.
Well, that's him. I'm off. Break the news gently, Charlie. Goodbye.
Oh,
sorry, Mr. Gordon. Mr. Gordon, I must fly.
Good morning, Mr. Gordon. Did you sleep well?
No. Did anyone bother to see to my car last night when we took it to Farrell's garage?
Oh, that's Mr. Farrell over there. Charlie.
Oh, there he goes. Excuse me, Inspector.
Yes, to left.
Morning. My name's Charlie Farrell. Your car will be ready tomorrow.
Tomorrow? This is intolerable. I want to get out of here today.
I'm sorry, sir, but I can't get your car back on the road there to spare.
Never mind, Richard. There's no hurry.
Landlord, excuse me. Yes, sir? Is there any other garage this man's hopeless?
He's the only one in the village, sir.
Hmm.
Could I hire a car? A gentleman wants to know if you can hire him a car, Charlie.
Well, the only one I've got's over at Fulton picking up his spare parts.
So we're stuck. Well, I can put you and your lady up again tonight, sir, if that's what's worrying you.
All that's worrying me is the thought of having to spend another day in this dead and alive hole.
Is that your garage across the road?
Yes, sir.
Well, according to the sign, you're the village undertaker as well.
Oh, that's right, sir.
Were you at the funeral last night?
Funeral, sir?
Oh, you know nothing about it, of course. No one knows anything about it. Well, the police are going to know, I can assure you.
The gentleman locked his head last night, Charlie.
Well, if I can get the car fixed any quicker, Mr. Gordon, I will. You leave it to me.
Goodbye, Sam.
Bye.
Bye, Inspector.
Did he say Inspector?
Yes, sir. And that gentleman sitting on the left by the Major, Detective Inspector Wilkes. He's here on holiday.
The very person. Wait here, Sally.
Oh, all right, Richard.
Inspector Wilkes, is it?
Sit down. Don't wait to be asked.
Do you have a warrant card?
Look, if this is official, I'll leave you.
Of course it's not official, Major. By the way, Mr. Gordon, this gentleman I was talking to when you butted in is Major Kendrick, a leading member of this little community. He shoots, hunts, fishes, can lick anybody at billiards, and he's a damn hand at the old pianoforte.
Glad to know you, Mr. Gordon.
Do you play the organ as well?
As a matter of fact, I do.
Was it you playing in the church last night?
I don't think I follow you, old boy.
Oh, of course not.
Well, look, I'd better be going, Inspector. It's part of business. See you lunchtime, perhaps. Mr. Gordon?
I asked if you had a warrant card.
I do.
May I see it?
You may not. I'm on holiday, Mr. Gordon. A week's fishing, feeding, drinking, and resting. All well earned and overdue. You don't need a warrant card for that.
I wish to report an attack on me last night.
The nearest police station, sir, is at Little Berkeley, about 6 miles from here. Telephone number is Little Berkeley 2928, and the chap to speak to is Sergeant Ims. A very efficient officer who can listen to the most fantastic tale and keep a straight face.
Will you be long, Richard?
Oh, Sally. This is Inspector Wilkes. Inspector, my wife.
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you, Mrs. Gordon. Sit down.
Oh.
Coffee?
No, thank you. Did Richard say Inspector?
A detective inspector. He's refusing to help me.
I'm not refusing, sir. I'm unable. Apart from the fact that I'm on holiday, this isn't my area. I have no authority here. If you think you've got a complaint to make...
Think? Have you seen this lump on the back of my head?
Yes, sir, and I've also seen your car in Charlie Farrell's garage. It wasn't only the car that took a knock, was it?
You're making up your mind before you've heard my side. Give me a light, Sally.
Where's your lighter?
I don't know, in the car, I think.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you what happened last night, Inspector.
I know what happened, sir. This is a small village. Everybody talks to everybody else. You heard a bell ringing, you saw a funeral, and then someone hit you over the head, right?
More or less.
Now, the doctor, who's got no axe to grind, says you knock him up, he opened the door, and found you collapsed on his porch with the milk bottles. Is there any dispute about that?
I knocked, but couldn't wake him. Then I saw a light through the trees. I walked towards it. The church bell began to toll.
Now, hold it there. The church bell started to toll, and this was well past midnight.
Yes.
I heard nothing. What about you, Mrs. Gordon?
No, but I was in no condition to hear. I was in the car.
She was dazed from the accident.
So were you, Mr. Gordon. Now, isn't it just possible that you staggered to the doctor's house, hammered at his door, and then passed out? The rest all took place in your mind.
Is this lump at the back of my head imagination?
You could have hit it when you collapsed outside the doctor's.
When I want your stupid suggestions, I'll ask for them. I've told you what happened.
Anyway, what I think doesn't come into it. I'm off duty. It's nothing to do with me. I've told you where to make an official complaint, sir.
Thank you for nothing.
That's what we're here for. Well, I know you'll excuse me. I'm going to take my little morning constitutional around the village to work up an appetite for dinner. You care to join me? It's a beautiful village.
I saw it last night.
Like many other things, sir, it looks so much better in the daytime.
It's beautiful. I've never seen such a lovely place. It's straight out of a picture postcard. The village green, the duck pond, those pretty thatched cottages.
It does have a certain superficial charm, but isn't it all rather primitive?
Exactly how it was 400 years ago. Completely unspoiled by progress. But if you want something a bit more exciting, there's the throbbing commercial section. The village shops.
Just those two?
Well, what more do you want? There's the butcher's. There's the general store come post office. Every modern convenience stocked.
Oh, it must be lovely to live here. So calm and peaceful.
You're right, Inspector. It does look different in the daytime. I'm almost ready to believe my imagination did run away with me last night. Yeah, there's the doctor's cottage. I remember that all right.
Where does this path lead?
To ye old village church.
Oh, can we see it?
Of course. Well worth looking at. Parts of it date right back to Saxon, Norman. I'm not very good at history. Pre-war, anyway. Through the gate.
That gate. I came through it last night.
Oh, Richard, no.
Oh, Richard, yes. I remember that sound.
The doctor's gate creaks, sir. That's what you've probably heard.
Always a glib explanation, isn't there? Then how do you explain this? My cigarette lighter on the path. If I wasn't here last night, how did it get there?
It just fell from your trouser pocket, sir. You pulled out your handkerchief and it dropped to the ground.
The inspector's right, Richard. You just dropped it.
Whose side are you on?
We had a heavy dew this morning, sir. If your lighter had been here all night, it'd be wet. Feel it. Stone dry.
All right, perhaps I did just drop it. But I was here last night. I'm convinced of it. Those trees. They were in front of those trees. Come on, I'll show you the grave.
He's getting overexcited, Inspector. I'm worried about him.
Give him his head, Mrs. Gordon. Let him get it out of his system. Well, Mr. Gordon?
I don't understand it. It was here, just about here. A deep hole, the earth piled up.
Well, there's nothing here now. Just grass and dead leaves.
Perhaps you've got the wrong spot. Would you like to look around?
I'm sure it was here.
In loving memory of Francis Victoria Cook.
Huh?
I'm reading from this old tombstone. Francis Victoria Cook died the 15th of May, 1882, aged 4 years, 11 months. A darling daughter. The Lord giveth and the Lord
taketh away.
How terrible. If I had a daughter and she died so young, I don't think I could stand it.
Well, they expected children to die young in those days. That's why they had such big families. You could lose 4 or 5 and still have a decent number left. You got any children, Mrs. Gordon?
No. Richard's... We decided...
What are you talking about?
Nothing, Richard. Do you want to get back?
Is there an organ in that church?
Yes, sir. A very few country churches without one.
You don't want to believe me, do you?
All right, Mr. Gordon, get it off your chest. Why should I have a holiday? Tell me exactly what you think happened last night, and if there's anything to follow up, then I'll see that it is followed up.
I couldn't get anyone to hear me. I banged, I rang, I shouted. It was as if I was the only one alive in the whole village. At first it was quiet, just the wind rustling the leaves. I saw lights moving through the trees. Then I heard the bell, muffled, tolling for the dead. An organ was playing. Suddenly, the cloud passed from the moon, and it was as bright as day. People dressed in black round a deep grave. Raw earth, wreaths, a line of polished coffins. A priest intoning the burial service.
Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Yes?
Then? No, that's all. That's when I was struck down. The next thing I knew, I was in the bedroom and the doctor was bending over me.
You said there was a line of coffins.
Yes.
How many?
Oh, I don't know.
You never mentioned this before, Richard.
Well, it happened so quickly. It's only when I think about it.
If you hammered at the pub to try and get attention, how come I didn't hear you?
I don't know.
I didn't hear that bell either.
Did the landlord bring you a drink before you went to bed?
Yes.
Well, he must have been drugged.
Drugged? Oh, come off it, sir. I mean, even if we accept it as possible, and I've known old Sam for years, why does he want to do it?
To stop you from finding out what I found out.
I think I'd know if I was drugged, sir. Let's see if there's anything tangible we can check up on. The clergyman who was conducting that service, what did he look like?
His head was bowed. I didn't see his face.
The old, young, short, tall?
I don't know.
There was only one clergyman in Little Markham, and there's the vicarage. Come on, we'll ask him. Unless you think he was in the plot as well.
Yes?
Good morning. We'd like to have a word with the vicar, if it's convenient.
It's not, I'm afraid.
No, he's not sick, is he?
He hasn't been out of bed these past 3 days.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm sorry. You might give him my kind regards.
I will.
So that's that.
Seems like it. It doesn't sound as if he was in any state to conduct a burial service.
Let's go back now, Richard. You should rest.
Who's that old man over there with the wheelbarrow?
That's Albert Biggs, the sexton.
The sexton? He would dig the graves?
This thing's becoming an obsession.
You want a word with him?
Why not?
Why don't you let it rest?
Albert?
Oh, morning, Mr. Wilkes.
How's the digging going? Dug mine yet?
I'll dig it when the time comes. Don't you worry, sir.
You won't know Mr. and Mrs. Gordon, Albert. They're just passing through.
How do you do, ma'am, sir?
Gentlemen, I'd like a word with you.
Was there a funeral here yesterday?
Oh, no, sir.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. They can't have a funeral without me knowing. The last one was 3 weeks ago, the big one.
The big one?
Old Sir William Markham from the Menorahs.
Not the Sir William Markham. The millionaire.
That's the one, miss.
I never realized he lived here.
The most noble of all our sons. The village takes its name from the Markham family. They lived here for generations.
And he was the last of them. This is his grave I'm tidying up here, miss. Oh. Left all his money to charity. Getting on for £4 million, I've heard.
And he was buried 3 weeks ago.
That's right, sir.
Then who were they burying last night?
I'm afraid you have the advantage of me there, sir.
Oh, you're all in it together, aren't you?
You're making a fool of yourself, Richard.
Oh, no. People are trying to make a fool of me, but it won't work.
Albert, have you got the key of the bell tower?
I have, sir. Why?
I'd like to show Mr. and Mrs. Gordon the view from the top. It's a fabulous sight, Mrs. Gordon. You'll be able to see the old manor house and all the surrounding countryside.
Oh, lovely.
What do you say?
Oh, Richard, shall we?
You know perfectly well I've no head for heights.
Well, it's quite safe, Mr. Gordon, I assure you.
Is it?
Well, if it worries you, why don't I take Mrs. Gordon up?
I'm perfectly capable of escorting my own wife, thank you. If you want to go, Sally, I'll come with you.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
Well, what about it, Albert?
Well, I don't know, sir. Oh, thank you very much, sir. I hope you've all got plenty of breath. There's a few stairs to climb.
Thank you.
further.
Nearly there, miss.
Are you all right, Richard?
Of course I'm all right. We can stop and rest, if you like. I'm quite capable of keeping up with you.
Here we are, then.
Was it worth it? Have you ever seen a view like that?
Absolutely breathtaking. Look, Richard.
In a minute. Follow my finger. Can you see that black and white building on the left? That's the manor house.
Oh, do come and look, Richard.
I feel dizzy. I'll be all right in a minute.
All that land, right back to the woods, belongs to the Markham estate. What you can't appreciate from here are the gardens. Albert here was employed by Sir William to look after them.
Yes, a gardener I was. Two men under me. And we had our work cut out with a place of that size, I can tell you.
I suppose it is safe up here. It feels very rickety.
Oh, as safe as houses, miss. The men who built this knew how to build. Hello? Where's the other gentleman gone?
Richard?
He must have gone round the other side.
I'll go and see it all right.
How insignificant everything looks from up here.
Makes you feel superior, doesn't it?
Richard!
Mr. Welch, quick! Oh, I can't reach him. He slipped and went over.
Oh, Richard!
Now, let's keep calm.
Don't move, Mr. Gordon. I'm going to reach over and... Don't look down. Look at me.
It's no good.
Can you hold tight with the other hand and reach up?
No.
Oh, my God.
Albert,
hang on to my leg.
Right there. Now, for God's sake, get a tight grip.
Yes.
You're going to have to bear the weight of both of us in a minute. You got me?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Right. I'll just move forward.
Oh.
Just a couple more inches. Hold it, Albert.
Yeah, I've got you.
Right. I've got your wrists, Mr. Gordon. Let go.
Oh. You'll have to help me.
I shall drop you. Use your feet.
I'm trying.
Oh. It's all right.
I've got him, sir.
Oh, Richard.
Oh, Sally.
My arms are 6 inches longer. You all right, sir?
Yes.
Thank you. What happened?
Well, the gentleman was...
I'll tell you what happened. He tried to kill me. He pushed me over.
No.
All right. You're a bit overexcited, Mr. Gordon. I think we should get you home.
Oh,
I'm
yes.
charging that man with attempted murder. Right, sir. Let's look into it. Now, can you manage him down the stairs, Mrs. Gordon, or do you want me to help?
I can manage. Come on, Richard.
Take your hands off me. I'm perfectly able to walk down unassisted. All right, Albert. What happened?
Well, he was leaning right over, getting all excited, trying to point something out to me. Well, he just slipped.
Did you know the brickwork was faulty?
Oh, I knew it wasn't 100%. I never realized it was as bad as that.
Oh, it could have been nasty. I wouldn't have liked the job of scraping him up if he'd fallen. It would have taken all the pleasure out of it. Keep the tower locked till it's fixed.
Yes, sir.
Now, you're going to tell me what it was he was getting all excited about.
Come in.
Hello, Mrs. Gordon. How is he?
He's calmed down at last. The doctor's given him a sedative.
If you want to know how I am, ask me. I'm quite capable of speaking for myself.
How are you? As well as can be expected, considering the experience I've been through. Well, have you charged him?
I've had a word with him.
And?
He says you slipped.
Of course he'd say that. But he pushed me.
His word against yours, and he's a well-respected man, not given to lying.
Implying that I am, I suppose.
No, sir. In my opinion, you really believe he pushed you, but you're in a very overwrought state, which is quite understandable in the circumstances.
Yeah.
But why should that old man want to kill you, Richard? Why?
Because of what I've seen. You can't see it from the ground, but from the top of the tower, you can look down between the back of the church and the wall. Do you know what I saw, hidden from view? A small pile of wreaths, unwithered wreaths from the funeral, which everyone takes such great pains to assure me never happened. He never told you that, did he?
Yes, sir, he did. And we went down and looked.
Well?
A pile of grass cuttings and some dead flowers removed from the church. No wreaths.
He hid them away before you got down.
We went down together, sir. You're not suggesting that I'm in the plot as well, are you?
No.
So, coming back to your suggested motive,
Why should Albert want to push you off the tower for spotting a heap of grasses and withered flowers?
Did he tell you what else I saw?
Oh, no. There's not more, is there?
I looked down from the top of the tower to where I saw the grave. There's a rectangle of grass, a different color green from its surroundings. It's been turfed over. It was as clear as anything.
Look, sir, I've had a word with Mr. Farrell over at the garage. I really think the quicker you get away from here, the better. You're upsetting the locals, you're upsetting yourself, and you're upsetting your wife.
Leave my wife out of this.
Anyway, he's done a rush job on your car. It's ready now. You can leave whenever you like.
He's in no condition to drive. Look at him. His hands are shaking.
Don't you drive, Mrs. Gordon?
I'm afraid I don't.
We'll stay one more night and leave first thing in the morning. Tell the locals not to worry. If they leave me alone, I promise not to upset anyone else before I go.
What is it?
Mr. Gordon, what's the matter?
I'm going to do some digging.
Your what?
What time is it?
1 o'clock in the morning. Have you gone mad? Look, go back to bed. There's a good chap.
I'm not going back to bed, and there's nothing wrong with me. I found these two spades in the outhouse. If there's anything bedded under that patch of grass, I intend to find out what it is.
Can't go digging up graves. You've got to have an exhumation order.
Why do I want an exhumation order when everyone's assured that there's no one buried there?
I thought you were terrified of graves and funerals.
I am. I'll do it on my own if I have to. But I'd appreciate it if you'd come along as a witness.
You know, Mr. Gordon, there's a hell of a lot about you that I don't like, but you have got guts, I'll give you that. Very few men would follow it through to this length. This could cost me my job, you know.
You can.
Well, I don't get any damn sleep now, will I? Lying here, wondering what's happened to you. Sling my trousers over, would you?
I never knew grave digging was such hard work. How far down do you expect us to go?
How deep should coffins be?
I don't know. It's an eighth of an inch for onion seeds, with coffins. If there's anything here, we should have reached it by now.
But I've hit something.
Let's get the torch on it. Scrape some of that loose earth away. It's a coffin.
A brand new coffin. Good Lord.
What?
There's another coffin alongside it, and I think there are two more under this.
Show me. What on earth have we uncovered? I owe you an apology, Mr. Gordon.
A lot of people owe me an apology. There's a brass plate on the lid.
Clean it up. Could be an inscription.
No. It's blank.
Nothing for it. You'll have to have the lid off.
I brought a screwdriver.
The complete resurrectionist's kit. I'm impressed by your thoroughness.
Inspector.
Yeah?
This is where my courage fails me, I'm afraid. I can't.
Well, you've not done too badly. Give it here. Let's have some elbow room. Not too bad. They're not rusted in.
Listen.
What?
I thought I heard a rustling. Like someone moving. I must have been mistaken.
Well, it's the last time I take you with me to a graveyard. I've aged 20 years. Here, hold these.
Mm-hmm.
One more screw. Ah, now let's get the lid off. You can look if you like.
Well, just some bones. It's a skeleton.
A very old skeleton.
But in a brand new coffin. And secretly buried. You going to open up the others?
No, we've seen enough. Let's get back and phone for help. It's out of our hands now.
Richard, is that you?
Yes, I'm in the lounge.
the middle of the night. Where have you been? I've been so worried when I woke up and you weren't there.
We've been out. We dug up that non-existent grave I never saw.
We?
Inspector Wilkes came with me. He's phoning for help. We uncovered some coffins.
That damn phone. Oh. Hello, Mrs. Gordon.
Did you get through?
No, the one in the lobby doesn't seem to be working. Let's try this one. Hello? Hello.
We've just connected them, I'm afraid, Inspector.
Sam. Sorry, did we wake them?
No, you didn't wake me. I saw you and Mr. Gordon leave with the spades. I guessed where you were going. We've been waiting for you.
We?
We're all involved. Come in, gentlemen. I think you know us all. The doctor, the major, Albert, Charlie Farrell.
Yeah, we feel we owe you an explanation, Mr. Gordon. This must be entirely off the record, Inspector.
Oh, no, Major. I'm promising you nothing. If a crime has been committed...
We can't deny a crime, Inspector. Many crimes, in fact. But a long time ago.
A very long time ago. 50 years, in fact. Sir William Markham would have been in his 30s.
Sir William?
Yes, Mrs. Gordon. He was a strange fellow, you know. Not quite right. Never married, lived all alone in that enormous house. Enough to make anyone eccentric.
Just eccentric?
No, it went deeper than that. Much deeper. But he was harmless. Or so we thought. It seems there was a big turnover of maidservants at the manor at one time. Sir William used to get young girls from institutions. Kids with no homes who were only too glad to have a job. You'd think they'd be grateful, but one by one, they just disappeared. After a while, the institution refused to send him any more. Well, I think Albert here had better take up the story.
Well, sir, this was after Sir William died. We were tidying up the grounds. There was a section all overgrown at the back of the house. He'd never allowed any of us to touch it while he was alive. Well, couldn't be left in that state, so I dug it over. Well, first I thought it was an animal, until I uncovered a skull. I ran for the doctor.
Yes, it was the remains of a female, aged about 17 or 18, buried some 50 years. I got Albert to dig a bit deeper. We uncovered another one. Then another one. There were four in all.
The missing maids?
I don't think there can be any doubt, do you?
How were they killed?
After that time, who could tell? I called the others together and we discussed what we should do.
What you should have done is tear him. You should have gone to the police.
And what good would that have done anyone, Inspector? Sir William was dead and the girls were dead. Dead for half a century. Think of the scandal.
And there was one other consideration. All his money, millions of pounds, had been left to charity. There were one or two distant relatives who got nothing and resented it. If they thought there was a chance he was of unsound mind when he made his will, they could have had it declared invalid. Deserving charities would have suffered, and our village would have been defiled. So we decided, unanimously, that we would keep the whole affair quiet.
And we gave the girls a decent burial in consecrated ground. The remains treated with proper respect. Charlie made the coffins. We bought wreaths. The vicar performed the proper service.
So the vicar was in on it as well. Oh, where is he? I don't see him.
We kept the old padre out of your way. Fixed him up with a diplomatic illness. He's with us 100%, but being the vicar, he wouldn't have lied if you'd questioned him. And you were right, it was me playing the organ. Beautiful service, held at midnight. Most heartwarming.
And who hit me?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask, sir. I'm terribly sorry, I am truly.
So that's about it. We've covered up a sordid old crime and we've harmed no one. We've given people a fine memory of Sir William, and we've preserved the good name of our village. So now we've got to throw ourselves on your mercy and ask you to keep our little secret.
Well, Inspector?
Well, no harm has been done, and I'm on holiday. I'm prepared to forget everything I've been told.
Mrs. Gordon?
I think you've been wonderful. You can be proud of what you've done.
Thank you. Mr. Gordon?
I'm reporting this in full to the authorities. And I'm expecting you to do the same, Inspector. I was deliberately assaulted last night. I've been called a liar, made to look a fool, and made to doubt my own sanity. And you say no harm has been done? Inspector, I'm making a formal complaint against that man on a charge of attempted murder.
Me, sir?
Yes, you. You tried to push me over the edge of that tower. You refused to take action before, Inspector, because you said there was no possible motive. Well, now you have a motive. I was finding out too much.
It was an accident, sir. I promise you.
Is my car ready, Farrell?
Yes, sir.
But I'm leaving now before there are any more accidents. And don't forget, Inspector, this is now official.
Goodbye, Doctor. Thank you for all you've done. I'm so sorry it ended up like this.
Goodbye.
Well?
They're gone.
Bad business. Well, it may be 4 o'clock in the morning, but I could do with a drink. Any chance of the bar being open, Sam?
It all depends. Would you report as inspector?
Oh, let's drop the inspector business, shall we? It didn't work anywhere.
Pity you don't have to work for a living, Jack. You'd have made a good policeman.
Well, what'll it be then? Whiskies?
Yeah, fine, fine.
On the house, then, I think.
Oh, even better.
I didn't have any children, did I?
No.
I don't think I could have gone through with it if they had kids.
He took the capsule, all right?
Oh, yes. I told him it would help keep him awake during his night drive. It should knock him out cold in a quarter of an hour, just as they're roaring along the motorway. You fixed the brakes, Charlie?
Yes. I'm glad the Padre is not here. He'd never have agreed. It had to be done, though.
Yes, I know.
It's for the good of the village. Close in here. That's better. Look, it's getting light already. Birds are singing and the sun will be out soon. It'll all seem different in the morning. The village really looks smiling and beautiful in the morning.
That was Smiling and Beautiful Death, a play for radio by R.D. Wingfield. The part of Jack Wilkes was played by Raymond Huntley, Richard Gordon by Noel Johnson, and Sally, his wife, by Joanna Wake. Dr. Norton was played by Godfrey Kenton, Major Kendrick by Garard Green, Albert the Sexton by Alan Dudley, Sam Stringer, the landlord, by Douglas Blackwell, The Clergyman by Clifford Norgate, and Charlie Farrell by David Neal. Smiling and Beautiful Death was produced and directed by Gene Bauer.